Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Tim,
hi.
Hello, Tim. How are you?
Oh, I'm very well, David. It's nice to be back.
Welcome to Stalking Time for the Moon Boys.
We
should acknowledge the listeners first of all, rather than each other, because actually we've been sitting here for nearly an hour.
Yeah, chatting away,
and so pretending that we need to say hello to each other, a bit silly.
Yeah.
Also, you have a bit of what I must call grot in your eyebrow, which I've only just noticed.
Oh, well,
this eyebrow, yeah,
is it?
Yeah, it's gone now.
Is it?
Although some grot dust on your glasses.
Wow. Grot dust on my glasses.
Yeah. I mean, that I haven't noticed. I haven't been holding.
Is it gone
it
now?
Sort of there a little bit, but maybe that's just an acceptable level of.
Maybe
stuff
I'm just falling apart. Just crumbling away.
Yeah. Anyway, welcome, listeners.
Yeah.
We're at Expectation, which regulars will know is Tim's production company. Mm. I have been in Australia, so we haven't seen each other for a while. A small point I was going to make to begin with, which is I'm wearing a top that I sort of know is too tight for me.
I don't know
if Tim spotted that.
No, I'll tell you what I was thinking is, like, have you lost weight?
Well, that's interesting, because I would say this should affect the opposite, because it definitely shows my gut more than I normally wear.
Well, have you lost weight?
No, I definitely have not lost weight. I ate like a hog in Australia.
Right.
And you know when you're on a 24-hour flight?
Don't know, because I've never done that.
Have you never done that?
No, and I sort of don't ever want to.
No, it's quite grim, but I'm just going to say I was in business class.
Sure.
And so what they do to try and get you through it is just feed you, like, absurdly. And also because you're travelling across time zones, they feed you at weird times that I don't have any rhyme or reason, but then you eat like seven times on the flight, and it's always a ridiculous amount of food.
Mm.
And so, anyway, this is all in the service of saying I don't think I've lost weight. But my point I'm making, but I'm interested to know what you thought, is I am actually going on holiday tomorrow. I would just like to stress I was not on holiday in Australia, I was working.
Yeah.
But I'm going on holiday tomorrow. And I don't know if you do this. In the build-up to going on holiday, I start thinking, well, I'm not going to wear that because I want to take it on holiday. And if I wear it, I have to be washed. And then...
I see what you mean.
So what I start to wear is clothes that I don't normally wear, including this one.
Yeah.
Which, when I put it on this morning, I thought, well, I haven't worn this for about 10 years.
Hmm.
It's too tight for me now because I am fatter than I was 10 years ago. But I won't be taking this on holiday with me, so I can leave it in the dirty washing till we get back. Doesn't matter, except when I go into Expectation, people might think, oh, David's gut's a bit more visible than usual.
Oh, I see. So, you know those, I'm just trying to picture where you get these things from. They're like, they look like tiny, almost like crushed bits of sand you might buy in a gift shop, and then you put it in the bath and it folds out and it becomes a
bit like what
boat
was on your eyebrow a minute
ago. Yeah, probably. I haven't put that in the bath. Do you know what I mean? You know, like
I really wouldn't want to be in a bath full of stuff that was on your eyebrow.
You put it in the water and it expands. Do you know what I mean?
Like a bath bombs.
Yeah, but they become something like a boat or...
Really?
Yeah,
I've never seen that.
Or a rabbit or something.
What, in the bath?
They hydrate. Yeah, or maybe in a dish you add water and it expands into a...
Okay, well, I don't know what you mean, but let's just assume...
Okay, so it's
that
sort of
such a thing really
rapid
exists
hydrating
in the world.
And I think you're a bit like that in that you could have a top that's too small and it could make you look overweight. I can see that. But I think there's another version where it makes you look like one of those crushed farm animals.
Right.
Where you look smaller than you are. And if I were to add water...
Okay.
Or cut that T-shirt off, you would sort of expand... And be the size you see what I mean?
I see what you mean, but like so you're raising an interesting issue.
It's like a corset.
It's not like a corset. So a corset, I would assume. And I did buy some Spanx once.
Okay.
Which are corsets. I bought some, but they were so uncomfortable.
Are they for trousers? Are they for legs?
Well, they're pants that go up to your like belly button and above.
Yeah.
So
right.
If you imagine them,
so they hold your middle in.
Yeah, and the idea is that they're tight there, and that is a corset essentially, but they're called Spanx.
I've often wondered, but now's the time to say it. Corsets, Spanx, and so on.
Yeah.
Where does the fat go? Like, because I think if you put a corset on, you might expect your forehead to pop out or something. Which doesn't mean, where does it go? Yeah.
Well,
inside.
It's not like it disappears. It's not like liposuction, which I've never done, so I don't know where the fat goes then. But
there's finite energy in the universe.
Yes, yeah, finite energy in the universe. So where it goes, if you wear Spanx, is it simply is being pressed. So if the Spanx weren't there. Right, but somehow were. Do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah, I do. Yeah.
Right, so the force of the Spanx. Say you were wearing invisible Spanx, which would be odd. But let's say you were. I mean, try not to think about the deeper ramifications of invisible Spanx, because
it's like
it involves seeing me naked. That's what I'm trying to avoid.
Oh, I see what you mean.
I'm trying to avoid any.
I think it's more like a sort of late book in the Harry Potter series. The Spanx of invisibility.
So there I am. I'm not on like Naked Attraction. Or whatever. No. I'm just there in my invisible Spanx.
Yes.
I think what you would see
is
my stomach just being pressed.
Yeah.
So it would.
To where?
Well, no, I think you're being disingenuous, because if you press your stomach in, it just sort of, you know.
No, but it
sort of goes to the side a bit.
That's what I mean, yeah.
It doesn't go to your forehead.
Is what I'm saying. So given that it can't go to the side because there's Spanx all around it, I just wonder, does it go into your chest? Does it go inside your body?
Fat.
Yeah.
It does go in, well, a bit. Yeah, it goes more inside than it's been, but not in any kind of like, you know, sorted nice.
It just
like,
presses into the cavity inside.
Well, and also to the side. Tell you what, let's ask Spanx to make some see-through Spanx, and then we can test this out. Because otherwise, we'll never know.
We might say I can't tell you how many times we've been asked to make those. But
I've got Joey Essex's book here because in Expectation, there's a bookshelf.
Yeah.
And the interesting thing about the bookshelf is, and no one's actually curated this bookshelf, it's because it's a television company and they work with celebrities. Every single one is like a celebrity. So there's Jason Manford's Bring Up Proper, Harry Redknapp's, I can't see what that's about, Richard Cole's autobiography.
There's no Tolstoy or Dostoevsky.
No, Matt Lucas. There's one called The Fall of Wisconsin. I don't know. Oh. Is that a celebrity?
That might be a... I don't know what that is, actually.
I can't find it now. But here it is. So Joey Essex, I don't want to make fun of Joey Essex, because obviously that would be a very 2015 thing to do. But he says in a photograph, because obviously there are photographs in it, one of my most memorable scenes in Towie. Actually, I'm going to bring up that
yeah, that's interesting. It's the opposite of, yes, very good point. It's Towie.
People say Towie, because you definitely work in television. They don't say Towie.
They don't say Towie.
Well, that would suggest that it should be Bowie.
It's a very interesting point, but I think it's definitely Towie.
Right. No one ever says Towie.
No one.
Because actually, if you did say Towie, it would sound like slightly disgusting, like it brings up images of like gunk between your toes.
Exactly.
That's a bit Towie.
But no one says, I love Bowie's 1976 album, Lau.
Yeah, but you can say Bowie or
you
Bowie.
Definitely can.
No, you can say Bowie or Bowie and get away with it. Yeah. I know Bowie is...
Bowie's horrible, yeah.
No, I've always called it
no,
Bowie.
No, I know, yeah.
But no one does say Towie. I only said Towie subconsciously because I was thinking, oh,
maybe
hang
we should
on.
Refer to it as Towie.
Yeah. Anyway, the point is, it's a picture of
Joey Essex.
It's a picture of him doing it. Joey's doing his hair, and it says, blow drying my hair, or should that be hair drying? ? Now, what's confusing me about that is the construction, or should that be, is normally a joke.
That's right, yeah.
It's normally like, should that be something in inverted commas?
Yeah.
That's not a joke, is it?
No, it's almost like...
It's just a straightforward thing. It's like, should I call it blow drying or should I call it hair drying?
It's almost like a note to the editor. Almost like he's over-worrying on a technical point and they haven't addressed it.
Yeah, I would think the answer is it could be either, Joey.
I think if you're really, really into your hair, maybe there's a sort of...
Is there?
It means something to people who are technically... That's not a blow dry. No, it's a hair dryer, you know.
That's interesting. Are you suggesting that if you use a blow dryer, which they are always called, they're not called hair dryers, those things that blow hot air?
No, I think
that is a different thing to hair drying because it's blowing.
What is the difference? The power? Power
no, the
and
blowingness.
Heat.
No, you can dry your hair just by letting it dry. That's definitely not a blow dry, right?
Do you know what's really so easy to do, and I'm doing it with that, the sound of a hair dryer, so I'm hearing it in my head. It's such an unmistakable sound, isn't it?
Can you do it?
It's like... I don't think I can.
Can you do an impression of it?
No, it's more of a sort of.
It's not that at all.
It's got what a slightly. It's got a
that's
slightly.
Really wrong.
It's got a sort of slightly high trebly thing going through it. Have I got the right thing?
That is so wrong. I mean, I know what that was.
It's got a.
Okay.
A blow dryer.
Also, it's a more. Yeah, that's better.
That's good.
Yeah, that's better. Although I still think it's a bit high.
Although that sounds a bit like, what were those things?
I think that's blow drying, or should that be hair drying?
What's the thing in the what's the thing in the laundrette, not the laundrette, the hairdressers from years ago? Maybe, do they still have them? Those big heads?
The big ones. From
the things
the
60s. You put on people's
no, no one has that except in 1960s British films.
Is that a hair dryer?
That's a hair dryer. Although, actually, good question. Was it actually... Did they make that noise? No, was it actually hot no. air? Or was it some other system? Those things.
But my memory... my memory is that they were a... but as well.
They definitely weren't that. Nothing's ever been that, right? But I'm not don't...
Sure. I feel like...
Yeah, they might be that. I assume... I mean, my mother is dead. Your mother is not dead. No. She might have used one.
Yeah, I think definitely. I think you sat there for a long time.
Now, always in British period films, yeah. women are sitting there for sort of ever.
Yeah.
And you never hear... you never hear that. You just hear their dialogue. So it suggests it might just be... They might just be warm. Might not actually be...
Very slowly.
Hot air.
Because presumably to keep the shape, they didn't blow. It was just a heat, as you say. It was
you never
just
see
like,
them in salons now.
That's what I don't
if
know.
I,
is
if
that
I
right?
was starting a hairdressing salon yeah. now, I might bring them back as a kind of novelty item.
Yes.
I'm not going to do that, but
no,
any hairdressers good. Listening, you know, there's an idea for you.
Or just tell us if they're still used, because what you haven't seen is them going to homes, have you? They didn't become something...
Portable.
Yeah, people
no.
use in the home.
Shall we look it up? What are they called? Old-fashioned...
Well, salon hair dryers. I don't know.
Fashioned conical. No, we've got all sorts of bollocks here. Oh, there they are. There's new ones here.
Okay, dryer hoods.
Dryer hoods. Who made that hair dryer? The New York Times. There's a whole article here. Alexander Ferdinand Godefroy, a French coiffeur inventor,
okay.
patented the hairdryer's earliest ancestor, which would send hot air through a pipe to a dome surrounding the woman's head.
Okay.
Right.
So, but it says, what I'm picking up is it takes a while. It doesn't, it keeps your hair in place.
Yeah.
And that was the idea.
God, it's actually really interesting.
Yeah.
I also think maybe they had a sort of aesthetic, iconic status, not just about drying yes. your hair, that going to the hairdressers yeah. and sitting there was a yeah. statement in the 60s.
I see what you mean, yeah. You had a bit of time.
Yeah, a bit of time, and you were worried about your, you know, concerned yeah. about how you look.
Yeah.
You know, maybe. Anyway, yeah. look, let's leave the conical hair.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Can I bring up the most important thing that we've had?
Well, before you do that,
okay.
something major has happened since I last
okay.
saw you.
All right.
I haven't noticed it.
About you?
Yeah, you haven't noticed it. That's because it's a bit less apparent than it was, but...
I haven't noticed anything.
Look at my finger.
Oh!
So currently...
Have you cut your finger?
My middle finger has a plaster of it, but that's...
Okay, that's... Is that like a serious injury?
Yes.
Okay, so...
So, basically, I was having a friend over for drinks, like, a week or so ago.
So, are you... Before you tell the story, yes. are you aware that this happened to my wife?
Oh, well... I think what we can come on to is how common this is.
Around me. So what's going on?
Well, yeah, I'll tell you. So this is what happened. To complete the showbiz picture, I was having a drink with someone who's going to be doing Strictly Come Dancing.
Right. Are you allowed to say who?
Yes.
I mean, it has been revealed.
Krishnan Gurumurthy.
Yes.
And he came around and we had a chat and he was telling me about Strictly. It's really interesting, Strictly, when someone's in it because, like, you just get a bit of the gossip and he was telling me about the routines. And
right.
And then I suddenly realised, oh, I'm so sorry, I've got to cook dinner for everyone, for the family. So... Mm-hmm. Off he went. And by now it's sort of like 8:45 and I've sort of haven't really done anything yet. Mm-hmm. I'm now a bit stressed and I haven't got long and I'm making a salad and I'm using a mandolin to chop an onion. Do you know what I mean by a mandolin?
Not the thing that plays on Maggie May.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah. So it's hard going. Yeah. No, it's like a flat piece of plastic with a very sharp blade in it that you can alter the height of and you sort of skim the thing over it and it cuts it into very thin slices.
Okay, didn't really know what that was. But
yeah,
okay.
So it's
a sharp knife-y
yeah,
implement.
Sort of looks a bit like a cheese grater on its side.
I know where this is going.
Yeah.
Okay.
We have a lovely meal and yeah. that's it. No, and so we're going and I've used it a million times, but this time because I'm in a rush, I wasn't concentrating and suddenly I'm aware that something's happened.
Yeah.
And I can see I've cut my finger and it feels quite bad, but so I put it under the tap.
Yeah.
And with all the effort in my mind, thinking, just let this please be a plaster. Yes. You know, that's what I want.
Not going to hospital.
I don't want to go to hospital. Now, I don't know, are you a bit Murphy's or not?
Sorry?
Oh, don't you know the rhyming slap?
Stout.
Murphy's and Beamish, Squeamish.
I thought it might be Squeamish.
Yeah.
I thought that's what you were heading for, but all I heard was stout. Right, and I am a bit stout, if you refer back to earlier.
Not in that T-shirt, you know. You look incredibly svelte.
Murphy's and Beamish, Squeamish, okay. No.
Okay. Can I just say, that just came to me, Murphy's and Beamish. So it just shows how...
It's not actually rhyming slang.
Well, it is, because I've just... But it shows how rhyming slang... I'm not sure what the rules of entry are.
I think you can say anything.
If it rhymes, it's okay.
Yeah.
So basically, the water's running, and then I was able to see, and I just basically... I saw that the tip had just gone.
Right.
And the bit that is a bit, makes you a bit Murphy's and Beamish, is when I tell people, it's a detail, is that the nail was gone, which feels a bit, makes you feel a bit green at the gills.
Yeah, I mean, I have things to say about this, but I'm holding back.
So the nail is gone. So basically, I think I've got to go to a hospital. So I went to Chelsea and Westminster Hospital, 9 o'clock, covered in blood, because they just, it just bleeds me. And they triaged me very quickly. And then I sat there for 9 hours.
Right.
Waiting.
Right.
The long and the short of it is, and it is a bit shorter than it used to be.
Yeah, and the long is the 9 hours.
It's the 9 hours, is that it's all fine and it's beginning to heal, although very slowly.
Yeah.
But during the wait in the hospital, which was a bit like your flight to Australia, it was sort of like, you don't really know how you've managed it, and certainly no food. You don't know, but you're just staring and waiting. And then is that, of course, there are all sorts of kind of people in there who maybe have mental health issues.
Right. Not so much like my flight to Australia.
And no, maybe not.
Anymore. But there was, it's really just the time length.
There was one guy who was genuinely scary because he went flipped between being incredibly funny and incredibly threatening at the same time.
Okay.
And he declared at a certain point that he was bipolar. I don't know if that's true or not. But he had this bag, Sports Direct bag, which had a tent in it and a sleeping bag and like loads of things that he kept sort of fussing over, but it wasn't clear. And he would at one and the same time say something like, in a really quiet, you know, it's 2 a.m. and everyone's had enough, like, why aren't we all talking to each other? We should have fun. And then he would look at you in the eye and go, fuck, 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 like that. So you're sort of in a slight, oh God, I've got to smile at exactly the right point, and I've got to come out as soon as you look serious. Otherwise, it, you know.
It sounds quite stressful.
It was quite stressful. But he did this thing, which, I don't know, it feels like a Pinter-esque moment in that, he kept saying he'd walked all the way from Cricklewood, which does sound like a 60s play, right, already.
Where were you?
We were in Chelsea and Westminster.
Okay, that's a long way.
It's a long way, so I don't know if that's true or not.
Yeah.
But he went up to the glass of the hospital, the reception, and said, and this is so accurate, his accent, so don't even question it.
Okay.
So, yeah, it's really, really exactly like this. He said, excuse me, love, have you got a carrier bag?
Right.
And she is so, you know, she says, yeah, I'm sure I've got something. Here we are. Handed it to her. And he said, great, thanks so much, because there's something in my bag that stinks. That's what he said. And everybody heard it, and he went to the bag, and he got this little bag out. And it.
So he had another bag?
He had a bag in a bag, not uncommon.
Right.
A bag in a bag. And the bag within the bag, he said, stank.
He went and asked for a carrier bag.
Yes.
It, with him anyway, by his chair.
Is the Sports Direct bag.
Is the Sports Direct bag, but inside there is another bag.
Yes. Lots of things.
Okay.
So he goes, something in my bag stinks.
Yeah.
And he goes to his bag and he lifted a sort of...
I think what would be brilliant, can I just say?
Yeah.
When we went to Hampstead Heath, right, if you remember, a long time ago, during COVID, you were with the now sadly departed Ace.
Yes, and my Boston Terrier.
Yeah, and he shat. And because it was COVID, if you remember, we've discussed this before, you bagged it out like a good citizen, but you couldn't put the bag of shit into the waste disposal because it was COVID and they just allowed people out again.
Yeah.
And so many people are taking their dogs out that they were stuffed with shit.
Yes.
And you had to walk for the entire time with it in your pocket, with his shit in your pocket and a little black bag.
Yeah.
It would be so brilliant if that's what he took out of the bag. That would be the best thing ever. If it was Ace's shit.
Well, to be honest, he didn't do that. He took out a white, sort of like a poo bag, very thin.
Yeah.
And everybody looked at it and he put it in the bag and put it back. And nobody, we're all trying to work, what is the thing that stinks? Because I'm not even sure it did stink.
Right.
But I also wondered, I wouldn't talk to him because he was unstable, right? Very sad. But I also wanted to say, if it stinks, I don't think wrapping it in a another bag is going to make any difference.
Yeah.
In the way that layers when you're cold is weirdly amazing. You know, you need two layers. But I don't think a stink bag can be controlled by another very thin.
Yeah, although.
A thin bag.
A bit. I'd have said a bit.
A little bit.
I would have said if it really stinks, it'll probably stink a tiny bit less if you put another bag around it.
But also,
I mean, here are the options, right? And as someone who, you know, I can imagine being in that situation might come up with, like, number one, if you've got something that stinks in your bag, then throw it away.
Exactly. That's the point. So what is it? What's in the bag?
Yeah. You never found this out?
Never found it out. And I thought you could do a whole play about what's in the bag and you never find out.
Yes.
But...
do you think it was food?
Yeah. I have a feeling when I caught a glimpse of it, I don't know if I was sort of projecting this, it's either food or, I'm just going to say it...
a shit.
His own poo.
But why would he be carrying it? I know he's unstable.
I agree. I don't know why...
do you think he'd got to Hampstead Heath and shat and thought, well, I'll clear it up. Oh, no, I can't put it in any of the poo.
Well...
what are they called, by
the way? Well, he walked from Cricklewood, to Hampstead Heath.
Yeah.
What do they call what? Poo bags?
The poo bins. Is that what they're called?
Oh, that you put them in?
They're specifically dog-marked.
That's a good question.
Waste areas.
Dog bins?
Dog poo bins? For anyone confused and anyone who's still with us after the length of this story, that is what you couldn't put Ace's poo in, a poo bin.
Yeah, I think it's...
as I'm saying poo bin, it sounds like not a real word.
Jeremy poo bin.
Jeremy poo bin. Or indeed, there was a thing, like a children's show
called Moomins.
Poo Bar. No, Poo Bar. Have you ever seen that? It was like an Australian or something. I'm not obsessed with Australia.
No.
Poo Bar. And we used to watch it with our kids when we were young.
Right.
And actually it had Chris Langham, who
you all know,
doing a slightly deadpan voiceover, saying things like, Poo Bar is standing there. Wanting to meet somebody. Exactly
right,
like that.
Right, right.
And I was a bit obsessed with it when I was young. Not when I was young, when my kids were young.
Right, don't remember that.
No,
remember
okay, that, well, Poo Bar is a bit like, it sounds a bit like pooping.
Yes, poo bit. So I don't know whether, who knows what was in the bag.
Yeah.
But, and I left before, him and he was there when I left. I think the enigma in the mystery is, I don't think it did stink.
Right, that is
odd. I just don't think it stank.
It sounds very performative, if that's the case.
Yeah, so, I mean, who knows what he was doing. He's a troubled man.
Yeah.
But so that was 9 hours, and now I have a finger which is
sort
of getting better, but it was traumatic. So thank
I mean,
you
unquestionably...
I don't want people to write in to say to simply...
unquestionably, we have spent too long talking about this.
Yeah, sure.
And, you know...
well, you try cooing for 9 hours.
In the edit of this... I'll let you in, let light in on magic here, ladies and gentlemen. So normally when I do any kind of show, and probably when you do a show, I spend quite a lot of time in the edit trying to think like, well, that bit could go. And
yeah.
I don't do that with stalking time because I can't be fucked. And so what tends to happen is that almost everything we record goes out.
Yeah.
So I would say that, you know, if this stays without...
cause why wouldn't
it? What we could do is cut it down so that the basic, you know, gist of it is there. That probably won't happen. Yeah. You've probably been listening to this for quite a long time. So... I now don't think I can tell, which is what I want to do, just because this is really very close to normal conversation.
Yes.
And in normal conversation, I would definitely now remind him of the fact that Morwenna cut her finger off in a house in Cornwall in 2015, I think, cooking Christmas dinner. And exactly the same thing happened. And not, there wasn't,
tip of it came off.
It wasn't a man with a stinking bag.
Right.
But she spent a lot of time hoping that it was going to be fine.
Yes.
And then gradually seemed to be fainting over Christmas dinner. We called the hospital. It was Christmas fucking day or Christmas Eve. And it was almost impossible. I also had a car at that time that I kept in Cornwall that was totally shit.
Right.
And we had to drive in it. Mm. It was a convertible that was just, and it was pissing down with rain. But the thing that is incredibly similar is the first moment I realised that we were now in a horror film and not just in a put a plaster in it, is she told me what had happened, and I was hoping plaster, we'll sort this out, kids won't have their Christmas ruined. But she'd actually slammed a door had slammed shut on her finger, which is what had led to it, an old barn door, which is partly why they said come in. Cause, and then I went out to look, right? I went out just to look at the situation, and then I was with my phone torching it around the area, just looking at the light, and at the bottom of this door was literally a nail and a bit of finger.
And I did think,
oh dear, that's bad. Seeing that is bad.
I'll
be honest with you, I was a tiny bit beamish.
Yeah, you would be Murphy's.
Shit, I fucked it up.
My whole point about rhyming slang is you don't... by the way, I don't know why, but you...
I thought I've got this. As I was approaching that, I thought I've got this. I've got a great callback here.
By the way,
I fucked it up.
I don't know what the unwritten rule is that if you say, let's take one...
The actual rhyming word.
You go, I'm going to go up the pears. No, you don't say that. I'll go up the apples.
Yeah.
Which requires people to go, sorry, what's that?
Well, I'll tell you why it is and why I so fucked it up.
Right.
Is the whole point of rhyming slang, although I don't know how it works with something you've just made up, but the whole point of rhyming slang is we're Cockneys, we know.
Well, it's
whereas,
a code.
It's a code. Whereas you're sort of like not coding it if you say I'm going up the pears, because you can easily work that out.
Although I'd say the Cockneys, you know, like it's always pretty easy to crack the codes.
Yeah,
it's
also not Jews like, are 4x2s.
As in...
Jews.
Yes. No, but
Cockney rhyming slang for Jews is 4x2.
Right.
I don't think there's a non-rhyming thing there. No one says... They don't say 4x's. I think they just say 4x2's. I mean, I say they. I don't know if anyone says that anymore.
Mean,
and if you're listening, Cockneys, I don't wish to imply that you're anti-Semitic.
No, but do you mean like you wouldn't you say a lot of my best friends are 4x's?
I don't think they do say 4x's.
What do they say? They're like
4x2's. Yeah.
That's interesting. Maybe other examples of that.
Yeah.
Or maybe you are about to find out that all.
What else is there? What's the other famous ones?
Plates of meat, feet.
Yeah, plate. You say plates. You said
my plates. My plates are killing me.
I suppose so. You said my plates are killing me. Anyway, look, we've got to get on to this extraordinary thing because we've done maybe a whole podcast without mentioning it, which is incredible.
Also, because you've been to Australia.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-.
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Yeah.
I know I texted you, but I'm still drawn to this.
What?
Saying...
them upside down.
What's it like being upside down?
Right. Yeah. And you know that's what a four-year-old thinks.
About exactly. That's why Australia. I quite like saying it.
Yeah.
And I don't want to ask you whether you were upside down because I know that's not what happens.
No.
But did you get a sense? Cause sometimes I have slightly disturbed dreams about going to Australia because it's like you couldn't go any further and it feels a bit scary being that far from home. Did you in any way think I've sort of literally gone too far this time? Kind of
only on the plane.
Yeah.
On the plane, certainly going there, it feels slightly easier coming back for some reason. It's so long that you just think... Actually, I like long journeys. I quite like the idea of settling into a long journey. No one can kind of like really get in touch with you.
Yeah.
You feel slightly like I'm calm with my remove from life. You know what I mean?
Yes, I get that.
And that lasts for about 10 hours. And then you realize you've got another 10 hours. And then you start to panic a bit.
Yeah, that sounds...
I think like, oh, this feels really weird.
Yeah.
I shouldn't be...
Going that far.
Going that far. And no, it does feel odd. And unquestionably, you do feel quite on the flight, quite removed from yourself. Yes. When you get there, I mean, I have to tell you, you don't feel upside down.
That's weird.
No, we really don't.
Even though you are.
Yeah. Well, only in regards to us.
Okay.
That's what relativity is.
Tell me this, though. Bits of change fall out of your pocket. Definitely.
Yeah. Well, that happens.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, up past your ears.
Yeah. Okay. That happens.
Because otherwise, what the hell?
Yeah. And every so often, you know, you do actually plummet.
When you put your iPhone on your bedside table, did it whack into the ceiling?
Yeah, that happens.
Yeah. But I'm not going mad then.
No. Apart from that, I mean, luckily what they have is all sorts of safety nets. That's what they have. They have a system of safety nets that mean when that happens, which actually is all the time.
Yeah.
Like, because obviously it's gravity, so it's completely all the time. So it's amazing that they've managed to have a society.
But that's why I'm a celebrity.
When all they're doing is actually falling about in the safety net the whole time.
But also, I'm a celebrity. Like, people think, yeah, it's not. But you think about how scary it is to go out, you know, when they walk on the ledge, because you're just going to fall into space. That's what they're thinking about.
Because when I was falling, when I was upside down, I wasn't sure that I was falling up. You're suggesting they fall up.
Yes.
They don't fall down. Oh, I see. That's what's happening.
Yeah,
I see what you mean. Yeah, they fall down.
Yeah.
Oh, in that case, the safety nets have to be across the sky.
I think that's what they do. That's what the shark nets are for. Stop the sharks falling out. Because So, for example, can you name, for sake of argument, an Australian high jumper? I'll save you your effort. You won't be able to.
No, I can't do that. No. Yeah, that's true. Because all that happens is they just keep going.
Yeah, every now and again they try and you never see them again.
That's a very good point. Anyway, you're doing something which is contrarian.
Right.
Which you do quite a lot. Which is, you know, we've got an unbelievable bit of Bowie information.
Yes, we do.
And you're just trying.
It's incredible. This.
You're just trying not to say it because that's a funny thing. I think it's on. Yeah, so a woman who is a fan of mine, I'll mention her by name because she'll be listening, called Lucy Elwell.
Right.
Hello, Lucy. She sent me what is arguably the best piece of Bowie sort of trivia, sidebar Bowie culture that's ever happened. And what it is a real thing, which was in Copenhagen's Medical Museum.
Right.
A woman who has done a picture of herself. There she is with the lightning stripe on her face, the famous Aladdin Saint picture. Hang on, let's see if I can actually find. Wrote to Bowie. I'm going to ask you to read this.
Yeah, okay.
Partly because I've read it and partly because I can't read it because I haven't got the right glasses.
No, of course. Okay, so this is a letter from a fan of David's that your friend unearthed or found
on the internet. Danish fan, I think.
Danish fan.
Written to him towards the end of his life, although she wasn't to know that.
Yeah, actually, what is the date? We don't know.
I think he was 60.
Okay.
So we can work that out.
Yeah, and this is to be found in this medical museum. So they've got a copy of it.
Yes.
Yeah. So it says, arguably a bit informally given what's about to follow, Dear David Bowie. So literally.
Yeah.
So not Dear David. Yeah. I have a bargain for you.
This is weird given what's to follow.
Just extraordinary.
Yeah. I'm not sure English was this woman's first language.
Right. I'm writing you with a strange request. I am a lifelong fan. I mean, I'd say all those are proper red flags for someone in David's position.
Assuming David's reading this.
Right.
Which is fairly unlikely.
I'm just thinking
might already have said
if she showed me before she sent, I'd say the beginning is quite off-putting. I have a bargain for you. It's quite presumptuous. Yeah. I'm writing with a strange request. Fucking hell. Like, most people don't even acknowledge how strange their fan letters are, so you acknowledge it. And I'm a lifelong fan is threatening, isn't it?
Yeah.
Right. I've been following your career since I was little.
Yeah.
I was
born. You're a lifelong fan. So
right, exactly. So it's actually not a lifelong fan.
Oh, yeah, that's
true. Because when she was a baby, she wasn't
a fan. So, that's true, good point.
So she's lied already. I was born in 1954, so not that much younger than you, but enough so that I feel like a younger sister. Again, creepy.
Yeah, creepy.
I offer these photos to you, reenacting famous images of your career. I know thousands of fans have done the same. Tilda. What does that mean?
Tilda.
Someone's name. I know... Oh, Tilda, probably the best.
Tilda Swinton.
Yes, right, well done. That's exactly.
That wasn't her being a fan. That was something she was commissioned to do.
Yeah, that's what,
she impersonated him in the video.
But I humbly offer mine among the others. Okay, better tone. I was hoping these photos might capture your attention for a moment. So in other words, I'm admitting I'm trying to trick you into the next bit.
Come on.
Okay,
We're finding...
Here we go.
I could say to the meat of it.
This is the moment. I want to exchange these... for a throwaway item, full stop, your poo, full stop.
Yeah, okay, so actually just before we go on.
Amazing.
I mean, what we're getting to is amazing, but, you know, again, David reading this might misunderstand that and think, oh, now she's slanging me off. Now she's saying I'm poo. And just to be clear, she's not saying that.
Yeah.
It's not U-R-E,
poo. No, I see what you mean.
It's Y-O-R, poo.
Yeah, she didn't get
Y-O-U-R, poo.
He might have done that thing that people do on Twitter going, well, firstly, I don't care what you think. And also, it's apostrophe.
Yeah, it's apostrophe.
And then not read onto this. It'd be his loss. Because what we read on is this. She continues, I want to conduct a fecal transplantation with your stool implanting your poop / gut biome into my colon.
Yeah.
This goes against all the quotation rules. I think, no, they're just rules. They're not. It should be someone close to me, someone under 60. All right, don't rub it in. Pre-tested, etc. But I know we will be compatible. And basically, if I could become you, well, say no more.
Yes. Well, say no more is weird there. Because I don't know that much about fecal transplants. Although, interestingly, my younger brother was very keen on doing one fairly recently.
Right.
My younger brother's mad. But I believe that it just sorts out, if they do work, certain problems you might have with, like, IBS and whatever. You don't become the other person.
Right.
That would be rare, I think.
Oh, see, I mean, just because you consume someone's
feet. You consume someone's poo.
You don't become them.
Grains. Yeah. I'm going to use the word grains. Right? I don't know what they are.
But I think it's made into a pill, right?
Yeah, it's made into a pill, but it still is their poo, essentially. Yeah. Distilled in some way that it's essentially, that it's their healthy gut bacteria that you then ingest. All it does is creates a thing in your gut flora that makes her a bit better. You don't turn. She doesn't become, seconds after taking this, one of the greatest musicians of all time. She doesn't suddenly. She doesn't able to write.
Yes.
Lady Grinning Soul. After I mean, maybe maybe I'm wrong about that medically. Maybe that is what happens.
When people,
there must be a poo. Hang on. It feels.
Are you looking
me,
for a poo pun?
It feels to me that if I could come up with one.
Oh. This is the magic here, isn't it?
Yeah. I should rock and roll poo-icide. That's terrible. Oh, cack. If she wrote cacks.
Coops. What about, no, I'll say poops.
Poops is even better.
Instead of coops. Yeah. But then you feel there's no context.
No,
it's just
no
like,
context
you're just
that.
Saying poops. No.
Yeah, a couple of poops.
I'm sure there's one.
I mean, this is terrible.
No, I'm sure
what I've done is set
with,
ourselves an actual comedy task and we're failing it.
People are shouting at the podcast
well, actually,
now.
Actually,
send them in.
If you want to send in, that's a default thing. Send
this
in your David Bowie poo puns. That would be fine. Anyway, keep going with the letter.
Right. Yeah, if I could become you, well, say no more. Firstly, that's exact. I want to say more. Like, what do you, like, as if we're in a pack, he gets that. But also, my memory of pulling apart Cartesian mind-body duality was like, it's real, is your body, is it your body or your mind? What if what if I took your mind, am I you or me? No one ever said, oh, there's a flaw in this. If you eat someone's poo, you turn into them.
No.
And I think that we can agree, whether pilferm or not, the poo isn't the person.
No,
right?
you are not your poo.
No.
Yeah.
I know people who know people who know people who can probably get this letter into your hands.
Oh.
Of course, we don't know if that's true or not, do we?
No, and also, it's in the Copenhagen Medical Museum, so it sounds to me like it didn't end up in the David Bowie.
I think the trouble with that...
In New York, in his apartment.
But the trouble with that chain of, like, four people is it can be misinterpreted, like that old party game. What's it called? Chinese Whispers, can you say
Chinese
that?
Whispers.
So they passed it on, and what they heard was, can you get this to the Copenhagen Medical Museum?
Yeah. And what they probably meant was, can you get this woman to some kind of medical institution as soon as possible?
So we don't know if it ever got there, but she finishes with, I hope you'll look upon this strange request favourably. I have Crohn's disease, and you could change my life forever, although you already have. So, in a way, she's answered it.
Right.
I eagerly await your response. Your fan, Kathy.
Yeah. Okay, so, Kathy, if you're listening...
Amazing.
No, I mean, we love you,
do we know when that was sent?
Like, well, yeah, it's like... When he was about 60.
Oh, I think right.
So 2014.
Be amazing.
Right? So, firstly, if you are listening, it's not impossible.
Tell us.
That we think it's a brilliant idea. It has flaws. So, I hope you're listening, Kat. You look at maybe number one is the phrase bargain. Right?
Yes.
I'm not sure what's in it for David, really, here.
Yes.
I mean, she actually offers him, which I've forgotten about, her pictures. She says, I'll give you these pictures of me dressed up as you.
Yes.
That isn't something I think David Bowie would have been short of. Should have acknowledged this, but fans sending pictures of themselves with lightning stripes or maybe in versions of the suit or whatever. I think...
I mean, in a way, it's not far off one of the most awful, humiliating, shameful episodes I've ever heard of, which is you saying to David Bowie, imagine I dressed up as Ziggy Star.
Yeah.
On the Jonathan Ross show, which is surely a fan's favourite.
Yeah.
Just to be reminded.
No, I mean, there's a slight element in which Kathy's letter to David Bowie is not that different from my conversation with David Bowie on the Jonathan Ross show.
Or you could say less embarrassing and a bit better.
Yeah, I mean, certainly more left field than me saying, what if I dressed up as Ziggy Stardust? Yeah, which is just rubbish, as we've discussed. So I think what it shows is an unbelievable heroism.
Yep.
Because I think she clearly, having gone to the trouble of writing it, and let's not forget, she does have Crohn's disease.
Yeah.
So that presumably means that the doctors in Copenhagen.
Yes.
I think, I mean, I'm saying it, I don't know that she's Danish, because yeah. that's where we, yeah. found, we find it. Mm. Doctors say to her, look, you've got Crohn's disease, it's quite bad, but there is one way out. You can do this fecal thing. It sounds a bit awful, but actually it's not that bad, because apparently it isn't. You just, we find someone with who's got healthy gut flora, and we make their poo into a pillow.
Yeah.
And she says, okay, I want David Bowie's. At which point, what does the doctor say? And says,
well,
okay, I think you misunderstood.
Or I was thinking one step before that, she could say, is there any hope for me?
Yeah.
And the doc says, well, it's a crazy thing.
Where's he from?
I don't know, like Germany? Right, no, they're Danish.
There's a slight Nazi doctor element to what you were doing straight away.
I wonder how does Danish people speak?
I don't know.
It's a crazy thing.
Okay.
Is it like that?
Well, Swedish chef, yeah.
But there is one very small chance.
Yeah.
You have to take the poo of David Bowie, like a sort of Greek, right, like a sort of East, like an Odysseus.
Yes.
Like a sort of, if you can get the hair of the golden fleece, is that thing? If you can survive the, what were those tasks?
I don't know, all of them.
The Minotaur.
And one of them is the poo of David
Bowie.
And
a poo capsule from David Bowie.
If you can get the poo of David Bowie, then that will be fine.
Then it could work.
I mean, all you're suggesting there is that the doctors actually said, look, we think that what you need is a fecal transplant, and we've examined all the possible candidates for your particular gut. And weirdly, it turns out that the best one is David Bowie, which is particularly weird, not just because it would be hard to get, but we're talking about, at the time, a man in his 60s with liver cancer who had spent most of his life drinking milk and taking cocaine.
Maybe that's the point.
I find it hard to imagine his gut flora were that helpful.
Or maybe it's precisely those conditions. But, you know, either way, I think she would have said, he would have said, look, in other words, what's the
you're still trying to do the accent.
Yeah. In other words,
I mean, it's sort of hurdy, 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 hurdy.
In other words,
if you want to go essentially 70s, always look to what would they do in the 70s in Britain.
Right.
And it would be a man going hurdy, 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 hurdy.
He's saying, in other words, it's hopeless. It's absolutely hopeless.
Yeah.
And she says, well, I know someone who knows someone who knows someone who knows someone.
Yeah.
So she goes off thinking, I think I can do this.
Yeah. Okay. I mean,
the other thing I
wonder about Kathy is, given that she did have Crohn's disease, which is quite a serious disease, having not got a response from David Bowie, if she then ate the poo of, say, her next door neighbour.
Right.
A bit sadly.
Yes.
If she thought, well, this is going to sort out my Crohn's disease, but it's not really what I wanted. I really wanted something more than that.
Yeah.
You know.
I suppose it'd be hard to distinguish that between her eating a poo pill and, like, no one eats a poo pill in anything other than that way, do they? Wouldn't you just think, oh, well,
I have to
got to eat a poo pill.
Well, you say that, but Kathy is really making something of it. Most people would think it's a downer having to eat a poo pill.
Yeah.
She's really found an upside.
But also, it's interesting, isn't it?
Because not only am I eating the poo of someone I really love, I might turn into him.
No, but also I think it's very interesting because if you discount it's another version of the Trials of Hercules. Just assume that isn't true for a minute. I think that's the most likely explanation.
Yeah.
It's a modern version of it,
yeah.
for real. What the doctor has actually done is, well, you need to eat a poo tablet. And she thinks, maybe in the room, this is how I'm going to get to David Bowie.
I think that's entirely what happened. I think that is what happened.
But I think
that's not a leap. I think instantly Kathy thought, this finally, my route to David Bowie.
But what she's chosen is the least... Look, so like earlier in the day, someone might have said, she might have said, I need a new passport, and...
Well, it's Australia.
Yeah. Right. So I don't know, where did you say... No, that's where you went, isn't it?
Yeah.
Where's Kathy? We don't know what Kathy is.
I think she's Danish, but...
Right. I need a new passport to the passport office.
Yeah.
And they said, here's your... I'm just not going to do the accent anymore. Yeah, it's actually quite tiring.
Yeah, don't do it.
Here's the passport. Now, you need to get someone who isn't a member of your family to sign the back of it. David Bowie.
Right.
That would be would you mind signing my passport thing? Seems easier.
I think you're misunderstanding how she's thinking about this. Because I think Kathy, who's not an idiot, Dave Bowie
Definitely
will never sign my passport because that's just like an administrative thing that I have to get my employer to do or whatever. However, eating his poo is something which David, in his like crazy, wild, transformative kind of way, I will become him. He will like that. And by the way, what we have not imagined in this, and we've imagined quite a lot, we've imagined it all from Kathy's point of view. Let's imagine it for a second from David's point of view.
Well,
let's imagine that we've said it's not got, he never saw this. Let's imagine it did get to him.
Yeah.
And for a second he thought, I don't really do much interacting with fans or responding to letters. But this one, I'm taken with this one.
Yeah.
So how do you think he would have gone about like the whole thing? Because he'd have had to do a stool, right? And his doctors, who I assume were quite eminent men and women, some of them would have said, well, here's the thing, David. You've got advanced liver cancer.
Yeah.
I don't think we should get distracted with this.
Yeah.
And he would have said, no. This is I want to transform Kathy's life in Copenhagen.
Well, certainly it fits with his sort of art, your death as art.
Yes,
and
exactly.
So on.
Yeah.
So because I think one of the things
death as art. I'm afraid that was in my head.
No, you've got to say it. Yeah. Fart decade. We're getting weird.
Yeah, exactly.
Good. It still seems very slim pickings, doesn't it? But anyway.
Well, I think that's what Kathy sort of thought.
But there's definitely a sense in which Bowie, I tell you what, I think it's really like, it's almost like Drive-In Saturday or certainly Aladdin seeing, saying era songwriting, where he would be, Johnny does this, Johnny takes the poo pill. And, it's very, but I think Bowie would be quite interested in it and you could imagine him being interested.
Sorry, Drive-In Saturday.
I think the secret is to,
surely that's nailed it.
The secret is to take the songs to be a bit drill into them because you find them. Don't you? You have to think of an album.
One of the reasons why I like Driving Saturday, I haven't discussed on this podcast before, but which I think is very at the core of my being, which is I can't bear it for a very specific reason. When sometimes people say that someone shit themselves.
Right.
It's sort of an Americanism, right? Yes. Some of the, no, they shat themselves. Right. And the reason that is very important to me is it's hilarious that to shit is an irregular verb. Right. It's hilarious that somehow or other, in the rules of grammar, shit has become a quite complex linguistic form.
Yeah.
And it's much funnier to say I chat myself than I shit myself. Apart from anything, that's a sort of eternal present.
Yes.
That's why I particularly like Driving Saturday.
Yeah.
Driving Shit Today be rubbish.
I'm actually going through Hunky Dory now to see if there's anything there.
It might be.
But
I mean, we could go through every single album.
I'm sort of tempted to just quickly do Diamond Dogs.
I mean if we were really digging into it, as the doctors would have had to, then I think we would go for lyrics and we'd find something.
Oh, that feels a cop out, although
you think.
But I think
this ain't rock and roll.
I think the problem is Kathy, in the sense that I can imagine, there's no question you can imagine in Berlin, 1977, Iggy and Bowie eating each other's poo pills. Definitely.
Possibly.
I think it's definitely sort of the...
I can't really, because they were just taking a lot of drugs and fucking each other up medically, they were just doing lots of bad. Actually, no, they were drying out then, actually. Having said that, weren't they drying out?
It's sort of slightly mixed.
Who knows? Who knows? But they'd certainly lived a very. So the idea that they would do anything for their.
But I can slightly imagine.
Because the thing about poo pills.
Yeah.
Is actually, certainly at that period in time, it's in sort of medical terms, the opposite of David Bowie.
Right.
In that it's a very modern woo. Like, think it's something Gwyneth Paltrow would do.
That's what you mean, yeah.
Which that's very like opposite to David Bowie in Berlin with Iggy Pop. Iggy Plop. I wish I'd just said it straight away.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, you've got to do that. Yeah.
With Sticky Plop. Just,
despite being surrounded by people like Iggy Plop and Pooh Reed, weirdly, David would not have found this attractive. I don't think he would have found this attractive composition.
He would have done.
Would he? I think he would have said, look, I've done some pretty crazy things in my time, Kathy. Yeah. Love the pictures.
Yeah, the pictures are great. I'm sending them back to the Copenhagen Medical Institute.
But I do hope you find health and happiness.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, he didn't do any of that.
It didn't happen.
It never got to David. That happened. But she did write the letter and send it somewhere. Mm. Is there any indication of where she sent it?
It doesn't have.
No.
the address at the top. It doesn't have.
Can
that.
You see the picture of her? I haven't actually looked at it. Can you see what it says about her? Any
it if you says, Kathy High is an artist who has Crohn's disease, an autoimmune condition. Patients and scientists experimenting with using fecal transplants. In 2015, yeah, Katie asked very people donor. She sent him a series of photographs. Oh, this is terrible. This is a terrible sentence.
Okay.
But also, it's a nice thing to say to her, in a way. It makes it a bit better. Sent him a series of photographs of herself as Bowie, but Bowie died before he could reply.
Oh.
So.
Yeah. I think that's not a terrible sentence.
No, it's a nice thing to say.
It's a hilarious sentence because it implies that if Bowie had survived, one of the things he would definitely have done is reply to Kathy's fecal transplant request.
Yeah, and look, it's 2015, so he's a year away, so he's very ill, as you say, and he hasn't got long.
Yeah.
And it's nice, the idea that he would reply. It's interesting, they do sign up with transplant recipients, have long wondered if they become a little like their donor. So, you know, she's not...
Is that poo transplant recipients, though? I think that's like heart transplant. Like, there's a whole film.
Yes.
Last Christmas about someone becoming a bit like the person whose heart they received.
Yes. Even when I...
don't know, poo.
No.
Heart, brain, obviously.
Yeah.
Also,
the truth is you are ingesting the very thing they are expelling. Isn't it? I mean, it feels like sort of the opposite. Really,
yes. I don't
it?
See how she can become Bowie... Given that Bowie, is never really has the poo as part of his being. It just travels through him.
Right. Yeah, so I feel like if you're going to become some... Like having... I mean, it would be kind of amazing to have Bowie's heart, for example.
Yeah.
That would be...
Yeah. Although probably not very healthy.
Not very healthy,
I mean, one thing this does create...
Mm.
I would say that Bowie is one of those people who's quite hard to imagine on the toilet. Like the late Queen.
Yep.
Like, you know, it was both hard to, and at some level you sort of did it because it was transgressive to imagine them having a poo.
Sure.
Right. But Bowie's a bit like that, possibly just because he's otherworldly, but also because he seemed to eat very little his whole life.
Yeah. I mean, it's so interesting, isn't it? Because he's definitely not, you know, look, I mean, we never, like, did he have an eating disorder? No, did he?
Yeah,
you know,
I think he probably did have an eating disorder.
I feel like he was too busy and too ambitious to, for example, sit down and eat a pie or, you know, something like that. Like,
yeah. As we know, he didn't like cups of tea.
He didn't like cups of tea. Definitely don't think he would eat pies or scotch eggs.
I'll tell you what we're going to do.
If you literally look at Spotify.
Yeah. See, I'm looking through it now. There isn't that
one. I think he quite deliberately avoided it.
Cack people.
Yeah, that's rubbish.
Oh, okay. It's all right. All the young poos.
That's rubbish.
Also rubbish, yeah.
Breaking arse and rubbish.
I don't know. I quite like breaking arse.
Breaking arse?
Yeah. Also, particularly because I've done something on your
carpet. Oh, there's a good...
I've done something on your carpet.
Right.
That could be with breaking
arse. There is suffragette shitty.
Don't
suffragette
look
shitty.
At your carpet. I did something awful on it and that's breaking arse. That's what should go on that.
Suffragette... Oh, okay, it's really hard.
Suffragette shitty.
Yes, that's what I was going to say.
Yeah.
Alabama Pon, as in Alabama
no,
song.
No, that's not by him.
No, so but
I don't think that matters. Poo.
Or spider.
I've got it. Poo or in a season of crime.
God, that's fucking niche as they come.
Well, yeah. Oh, I feel there must be a pun on Black Star, but I couldn't get it.
No, it just feels like it.
It feels like Black Star must be a poo pun, but it isn't.
No.
Oh. Brown Star.
Shite from Young Americans.
Huh?
Not right.
Oh, right. Yeah. Oh, you see, what they've got here on Wikipedia is his songs listed alphabetically. What we really want is his songs listed with rhyming with poo.
What, don't they do that?
No, strangely they don't really do that. Weird. Yeah, that's a bit of a shame. Maybe he knew, because he knew everything. Maybe Bowie knew that in years to come, you know, this will be discussed, and I'm not going to give them the opportunity to ridicule my songs by easily finding rhymes involving fecal matter. I'm just not going to do that.
I honestly think that's the most likely explanation of why. Because every other band, it's like really
easy. It's quite easy.
Yeah. And he, which is why in the end, it's awful to say it, and I hope Kathy's alive and well, but she was like...
All the Beatles, she loves poo. We've done it like straight away.
Yeah, no, it's like one of their first singles.
Yeah.
For me to poo. I mean, it's literally...
It's really very easy.
Try and find one that isn't. Hey, pooed. No, like all of them.
Yeah, it's impossible to do.
Yeah, yeah.
So, Sergeant Pooper's Lonely Hearts Club Band. I mean, it's impossible.
But... Kathy, it was stacked against her because what she didn't realise is it's hard enough.
He thought about it
and created a structural defence system against the whole thing.
Well done, David. Another part. Who would know that at this late stage we'd find another part of his genius? Good night, ladies and gentlemen.
Christ.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.